Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we've got a great show for you today. Joe Haley is here. Joe, how many pounds have you lost? 17?
20.
People who have been watching the Joe Show are writing in and saying, who is that guy?
It's the Incredible Shrinking Man.
Yes, and you've got the six-pack abs now, I guess?
Two.
Okay, well, hey, we're making progress.
Two, when I bend over, I can see him.
Two-pack.
Andy Cohn from Tuckahoe is here.
I'm here.
Editor of Council Magazine, and your abs, what pack do you have?
I have a 12-pack, thanks.
All right, glad to hear it. Michelle Bell thinks that's funny.
Michelle, yes,
editor of Supplier Global Resource, is here. And are you on deadline, Michelle?
I am on deadline.
I thought you were. All right, she's working hard. And Kathy Houston is here, and she's smiling.
And I'm on deadline, too.
Yes. Do you have anything else to say?
But I'm gracing you with my presence anyway.
We're so happy to have you here. Craig Veltri is going to be managing the sound booth. And Vinny Driscoll is going to be taking your phone calls today. Give us a call at 215-953-4979. This is a great topic. We want to know any questions you have. If you're having clients who are not paying their bills, we're going to have all kinds of tactics and strategies to help you get paid. So if you're struggling with some deadbeat clients, give us a call, 215-953-4979. And Joe, if we put you on the air, what are we going to give you today?
$25 Visa gift card.
And who couldn't use that?
I could.
Okay. Well, you're not eligible. Anyway, call us at 215-953-4979. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, first of all, happy Pearl Harbor Day to all our veterans that serve this country. Thank you for your service. We are 69 years away from Pearl Harbor. Andy Snickers. Anyway, we have tips for branding your small business. Also, the holidays. The hottest holiday gifts, Michelle's got to look at them. Online ad spend continues to double-digit growth. Andy, our money guy, has a look at that. We have Sign of the Times, Fourth Amendment underwear. What is that? Huh? Anyone? Anyone?
Mm-hmm. Something creepy.
Yeah, you have to stay tuned. No, I'm not wearing them now. We also have our favorite things. Is your status quo killing your business? Michelle will let us know that. We got some calls on the Holla Back line. But first, we'll start with the industry news and Andy Cohen.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with supplier news. Longtime supplier Drymark has announced that it won't distribute its products to ad specialty distributors anymore. The company has decided to focus on its retail and manufacturing capabilities. Through exclusive distribution agreements, Drymark products will now be sold to distributors in the U.S. through Beacon Promotions and in Canada through Dizine Corp. Orders for Drymark items can be placed through those suppliers beginning immediately. Norwood and Bic Graphic North America announced that it is closing its manufacturing facility in Janesville, Wisconsin. The site, which was home to Norwood's Jaffa line, will move to the company's Red Wing, Minnesota facility, with the transfer closing by April 2011. 75 employees will be losing jobs as a result of the closure. Supplier acquisition news now. In a deal that closed December 2nd, Foamworks has acquired New Jersey-based Diversified Novelties. According to the deal, Richard Langer, president of Diversified, will join Foamworks to serve in business development and sales. Diversified Novelties will now move its operation to Foamworks' facility in Maine. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what are we showing off today?
The Scribble Tea and a handful of other new products. Fantastic.
The Scribble Tea. What's the Scribble Tea?
You'll have to watch the Joe Show to find out.
Give me a little tease here.
All right. Thank you, Andy. And now we're going to play a call that we got on our Holla Back line. Michelle, what's the Holla Back line?
It is a line where anybody can call us 24/7 and leave us messages, leave us requests for topics you'd like to hear covered. The number is 215-953-4977. And again, you can call us 24/7, leave a message, and we'll play it on the air.
Craig, let's play a message that we've got on there today.
Hello, ASI Radio. My name is Susie. I'm a distributor based out of Ohio. And I just wanted to make a comment about one of the things that I think is great about the show is when the editors talk about their favorite products. It actually gives me some great ideas to my clients. So I just wanted to say, keep up the good work.
Well, that's a nice comment. And we will be showing our favorite products today. And Joe, you've got some kind of stick that looks like it's taller than you. So we'll be looking forward to seeing that. All right, now it's time for our call-in segment, 215-953-4979. If you're having problems getting paid by clients, give us a call and we'll give you some advice. And, you know, this time of year, people want to close their books. It's December, so it's a struggle for a lot of distributors, and we'll tell you how to help get those deadbeats to pay up. We've already got a caller on line one. Diana, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, good. Lately, I've noticed that I've just been chasing down my clients a lot to pay their bills, and I'm getting annoyed because I feel like, you know, I'm floating their business, and that in turn is hurting my business. So I was wondering if you had any tips on how I can get my clients to be a little bit more timely with their payments.
Andy?
I got this one, guys. I would say maybe institute some sort of incentive program where either you ask them to pay either on time or even early, and you give them 10% off their next order. Or, you know, you try to put some sort of program in place where you're getting them to pay even more up front. And that could reduce you know, total cost of future orders. I think anything you can do on the upfront side to get them to understand that early payment is important will help out your whole process. So you're not chasing it at the back end.
You know, I'm seeing a trend more and more each year. More distributors are telling us that they're requiring clients to pay 50% or more upfront. Are you guys seeing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're trying, definitely. And some have been very successful with it. I think customers, for the most part, understand. You know, you're buying not just the end result of the product, but the whole service, and you know, making that evident to them and showing them that that's an important part of what you provide is something that's important.
What if they did something like, you know, if you pay your invoice by, you know, December 31st, give you 5% off your first order in 2011, mm-hmm. not only incentivizing them to pay their bills off before the end of the year, but it encouraging them to buy again for the start of the new year.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. I think that's a great point. I think you don't want to be so confrontational with bill collecting. You want it to be more of an opportunity in a sense, you know, so try to create a longer term partnership than just, you know, this one bill. Obviously, if it gets to the point where they're not paying any of their bills, then that's a separate issue. But, you know, if you're looking to create a long term partnership with this client, then something that you can use that invoice collecting almost as an opportunity.
What if you go visit them personally with a box of donuts as a reminder?
I like that.
Hi, it's Bill.
I like donuts.
This is all great advice, but she's dealing with clients who are already late. So, you know, the incentives, you know, it's kind of too late for that. So what do you do with those clients?
Collection agency.
Yes, if it's really late. I mean, if you're at 120, 150 days, then yeah, I think you're heading towards collection agencies. But
well, one thing that if it's a good client, a good client wouldn't let it drag on that long. So they're going
to
pay a little.
To.
Right. So then if it's not a good client, wouldn't you then send it to the collection agency?
Yeah, but if someone's 30 days late, there's other things that you could do before going that route.
Yeah, I think you need a process in place where you're contacting clients almost from the minute an order goes out. So your invoice information is on the delivery, you know, so that's the first touch point. After they've missed, say, a 15-day payment or something, then you're reaching out to them with a phone call. You know, Kathy said, show up with donuts. There is something to be said for actually showing up, mm-hmm. and, you know, being a little bit in their face, and, you know, you're being nice about it. But if it's past 30 to 60 days and invoices still aren't being paid, then I wouldn't be afraid to just show up.
And
you know?
Yeah, I would show up, and sometimes there might be extenuating circumstances, especially in the case of a really good client.
Yep.
And maybe you just ask them to be honest with you. Why aren't you paying? Maybe you could help them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, Diane, I hope that helps. Please stay on the line for your $25 Visa gift card. And on line two, we have Kate.
Hi.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Where are you from, Kate?
Well, I'm right outside Philadelphia.
Yes, I detect the accent. So what's your question?
Well, I have a very similar question. I'm a small distributor, and I'm still owed about $10,000 for in outstanding invoices, and I just want some suggestions on how I can get my money by the end of the year without alienating these clients. I don't want to be, you know, like the godfather. You know, I don't want to be a pushover, but I want some good tips.
I think the showing up tip is a great one.
Just
if the people are in your area.
A quick question. Is that $10,000 from one client or from multiple clients?
Multiple.
Oh, okay.
Thank goodness.
Then you got a small claims issue on your hand.
Andy, isn't there a story about a distributor who sat in someone's lobby until they got partial payment?
Yeah, we have talked about many people that have done exactly that. And,
yeah,
I think
if it's a lot of money.
I think you may want to take the opportunity this month to do that. You know, you could almost show up with a holiday card, a holiday gift, you know, not that you want to gift clients that are deadbeats.
Here's a gift, deadbeat.
But it's a way to get in the door and to talk to the right person. You know, in some cases, invoices aren't paid because they're not necessarily going to the right people. So you might want to follow up with those clients and make sure that the invoice is on the right person's desk. Make sure that, you know, it has reached accounts payable. Make sure it's gotten to the point that it needs to get to. And then if not, then you have to have, you know, what could be, you know, you said alienating the customer. You could have to have that kind of conversation. You know, I wouldn't be afraid, especially as the year comes to an end and you want to close your books, to have, you know, frank conversations with customers saying that you need payment on bills, especially if they're overdue.
What about credit cards? Like, what if you got their credit card information?
Well, I think that's ideal. If you're if you're a business that accepts credit cards. Anything you can do to get a credit card would be the best way to go.
Of course.
That's the quickest payment.
What about
for
payment
sure.
plans if they're struggling? You know,
I could try that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You know, one thing, this doesn't necessarily help at this point, but David Blaze always suggests this. He's one of our most popular speakers at the ASI shows. He suggests giving a client a call a few days before the payment is even due.
Yep.
Because then that gives them the opportunity to say, oh, I didn't get it or something, and then you send it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes they'll make that excuse after the payment's due, and then you're wasting more days to resend them the invoice. So just have someone, customer service or yourself or whoever, just say, hey, just want to remind you, payment's due on Friday. Is, you know, any issues? And then that gives them the opportunity to, you know, dispute or have any questions.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck, Kate. Hope you get your $10,000 before the end of the year.
Thanks.
Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. All right, Kathy, a lot of small businesses are looking to brand themselves. A lot of them don't have big budgets. So what do they do?
Well, first of all, they have to figure out what their values are and what they represent. And then you have to have a great logo to go along with that. And that's extremely important right now. In regards to logos, Dan Shawbell, who's a personal branding expert, suggests that you create a few different logos, or if you're the distributor, help your client create a few different logos, and then bring them into a focus group and ask a certain number of people to say what the logo means to them. If they agree upon a logo that represents your values, then that would be your best bet. Another thing is a survey from American Express shows a third of small businesses actually go on social networks. The thing is that they're afraid to try them out. But this expert says don't be afraid to take the risks, because people like to work with human beings. And even if you make a couple mistakes in the beginning, that just shows the human factor.
Only a third are on social networks? Is
only
that what
a third
that says?
Of small businesses.
Wow.
They're afraid to take
that
risk. Right, for their companies. And if you do go online, which you should not overly promote yourself and your company online. You have to be seen more as a value contributor than a self-promoter. So we always talk about this too. Try and present some free content that is particularly valuable to the prospects you want to attract.
And you know, a lot of small businesses right now who are doing the Facebook fan sites are giving little prizes and things for people who sign up, or
right.
You know, the first 500 people who become fans. That's an area distributors can really get into, is help people set up, because, I mean, literally, you can set up a Facebook fan site in, what, like 5 minutes?
Not even,
he says. And, you know, that's a great way to sell some branded merchandise.
That definitely is, yeah. Like, anything you can do as a distributor, be a value-added source, including helping your clients set up Facebook pages if they're afraid to do so, is, you know, would be great.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Kathy. And let's move to the holidays. Michelle, this is your favorite time of year, isn't it?
Sure.
That was a resounding yes.
It was alcohol.
I'm so glad to hear it. Michelle is going to tell us about some of the hottest holiday gifts.
Okay, if I were to ask you guys, what do you think is the most popular gift item this year that everybody wants?
The Kindle.
No, it's in the top five, though, for sure. The
iPad.
Most popular. The iPad. Followed by the Microsoft Kinect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Laptops, HD TVs, e-readers, and MP3 players.
And if you're between the ages of 8 and 13 and you're a girl, then Uggs would be on.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a fact I thought was interesting. 70% of 18 to 34-year-olds, especially men, are planning on buying gadgets this holiday season, and that is the gift they also want. So that is the top item on everybody's list.
Buying
Andy,
them
is it
for
on
themselves?
Your list?
Buying them for themselves?
No, for
or
others.
They
others.
Plan them to buy to them for others, but also that is their number one
too.
So
wish.
Andy and Joe, you're in that demographic,
Neither of us is in that demographic, actually.
Oh, did you see? Oh, I'm sorry. 18 to 34.
Yeah. No, neither one of them.
We'd like to
I apologize. Are, right?
The other thing.
Oh, wait. Vinny and Craig are here. Craig, do you have gadgets on your shopping list?
The Xbox.
Ooh, Craig wants the Xbox.
He's a gadget guy.
I don't fit that.
Well, you're over 34, too.
He's ancient, like us.
Oldies in this. Luckily, all the women are in that demographic.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, good point.
And one good sign for the economy, people plan on spending 16% more on electronics in 2010 than they did last year.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, that's great.
Sure. Thank you, Michelle. We're going to pause now for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, Andy's got some fantastic news for us.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteU.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday morning show. Andy Cohn has some good news for us this morning. Andy, what do you have that's going
to
make us
smile? Of course, I have good news, but as Captain Killjoy, I have to stick to my persona and offer some bad news to temper that a little bit. So let me give the good news first. The new survey from eMarketer, which is an online research company, says that ad spending online will increase by 11% in 2011 and reach $440.5 billion annually by 2014. So it's the fastest growing medium by far in advertising, and is outpacing pretty much all other media for increases in ad spending. Here's the thing, though. It's going to be very interesting to watch over the next couple of years, because the FTC just recommended a do not track system for online ads, where people like do not call registry, you could register your IP address in this system, and you wouldn't be able to get targeted ads to you. So that would really put a big crimp in the way that online marketers advertise their products and services, because if you notice how you go online now, a lot of things get targeted to either how you shop, where you're located, what kind of sites you've been to previously. This kind of do not track registry would actually get rid of all of that targeting. You'd still see ads. If you were on this registry, you'd still see ads, but they would just be generic ads for that website that you happen to be on at that time, and marketers would not be allowed to track what you do online. So that could be an interesting thing to watch over the next couple of years, see if it actually passes and what effect it has on online ad spending.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy. And Joe, you've got some new underwear to tell us about.
I do.
I get online ad spending and he gets new underwear.
I do.
I know my demographic.
Everyone knows what the Fourth Amendment is?
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy?
Privacy.
Privacy, you know, the right to, you know, not to worry about illegal
search and seizure.
Thank you.
Yes.
So with everything that's going on with these new scanners and they're worried about the naked pictures, you can actually buy this Fourth Amendment underwear. What has the Fourth Amendment printed on it in metallic ink. So therefore, when you go through the scanner, what they're going to see, instead of full body, you know, full frontal nudity, they're going to see the Fourth Amendment.
But they don't really see. I mean, does anyone?
Have you seen some of the pictures?
No, and I really don't care.
Didn't we go through one of those?
Who cares?
Yeah, people are so up in arms about this.
I agree with that.
I agree, too.
You go through a scanner, you go through a scanner.
Yeah, it's not
who
like
cares?
Everyone in the airport's going to see you naked. It's not like you're walking. I could care less.
Okay, anyway. So.
But anyway, I realize that some people are very upset about this.
Yes.
And apparently there's a solution for them.
Yeah, there's a solution. And so if you, you know, if you deal with any of these people.
Fourth Amendment on your underwear.
There's this local guy who started this whole thing. He was going to have everyone do the, you know, protesting during the Wednesday Thanksgiving travel day,
yeah.
And you know, opt out for the pat down rather than the scanner, was to slow down traffic and blah blah blah, and it never happened. So he was getting press all over the place, and his big, you know, protest
his
failed.
Big what?
His big protest failed.
So I don't understand how the underwear actually conceals the private parts.
Well, it has metallic ink on it, and what? Here, let me show you the picture. And what it does is that when you go through, see, here's the T-shirt. When you go through the scanner, it's an X-ray.
Okay.
X-ray can't penetrate the lead ink here or the metallic ink. So what it's going to do is it's going to show the Fourth
X-ray technician people
is going to see
the Fourth Amendment.
They'll see the Fourth Amendment.
It'd be funny if they
see. Here's this guy with his boxer briefs.
You know what, we'll post this on our website.
So everyone, I think that everyone needs to see that. I'd love to hear. Call our holla back line and tell us. you know, what you think about this whole.
Yeah, because the word of the day is cockamamie.
Yeah, you know, I hate to agree with Ms. Cockamamie over here, but it is. What is? Why is everybody so up in arms about this? Seriously, you go through a scanner, or you don't.
I agree.
Like.
But actually, don't fly.
They're seeing
don't
an
fly.
X-ray of you. Anyway, they're not seeing, like, your naked skin and flesh body.
No, yeah, they are.
No, they,
a little bit.
It's pretty. It's a pretty intense scanner, but who cares?
I don't
you
care.
Know?
We all have those parts. What's the big deal?
We all have.
All right, we're going to pause for a message from ESP, and when we return, the editors will talk about their favorite products of the week.
Attention suppliers, are your products updated in ESP and ready for the new year? Now's the time to send ASI's ESP classifying department your catalog so they can update your information in our system before show season. If your catalog PDF is ready for the printer, it's ready to send to us. Email it today to espupdate@asicentral.com or call 215-953-4377 with any questions. Remember, distributors are looking for your up-to-date information in ESP after they attend the show, so don't miss out on sales because of updated product information in ESP. So update your stuff. You all right there, Joe?
All yes. right, we had a little workplace.
Don't worry, we're still here.
He's holding his limbo stick.
Joe Haley is playing with his stick and causing some problems. But back on this airline thing for a minute, give us a call at 215-953-4979. We'd like to know if you have a problem with the new airport security or if you're okay with it. And we'll put you on the air if you give us a call. In the meantime, it's time for the editors to tell us their favorite products of the week. And Kathy, we are going to start with you.
Yeah, well, this product is coming soon. They're going to have it all in stock by the end of December, and they'll take pre-orders. It's a way to protect your pooch's paw pads in the frosty winter.
I think this is adorable.
And in the summer heat, too. Do you put stuff on your dog's paw pads?
No, but I will tell you that Ruckus, who is 13, his paw pads are wearing out. And
see?
When he spends too much time on the wooden back deck, he gets sore paws.
I'm giving you this item
He's
that I received.
He's getting a little old, huh?
He is. Yeah. We had to wrap them all in gauze one time.
I'm going
to
give you this item that I received from Solar Advertising, ASI 88148. And it's like paw balm. And it's made out of waxes, sunflower seed oil, coconut oil, cocoa butter, shea butter, and vitamin E.
Does it work
e.
for cats, too?
I would think so. Anybody that has paws.
Joe, you put this.
Anybody that
so
has paws.
So it will
paws.
Work for Andy, then, is what you're saying.
That's right.
Joe had this on the Joe Show, I think, a few
yes.
weeks ago. And immediately we got people wanting to know where to find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, so where do we get it? You know,
the pet
how can
industry
I get it?
Is so huge right now. I think this is going to be a really popular item.
Right. So for more information, contact them with pre-orders or to ask when they're going to have it in at 866-851-2502. And then, like I said, they'll have it in by the end of the month.
All right, Joe Haley, let's talk about this walking stick that's causing so much commotion. Wow.
This is my favorite thing. It's a
Don't break the camera.
A real wood walking stick, and it has a carved deer on it, but you can get your client's logos carved on it. It's got a little rubber grommet on the end, and it's got a leather strap. Vinny's going to take it.
Vinny's going to give a close-up.
What about this is great for anyone who's outdoors and hiking.
Yeah, it's too tall. You look like Moses.
That's about
I called him Moses on the way down here. Actually.
It's about 5 feet tall. Okay.
Okay. I'm guessing you can get it in different heights.
So
sure.
3 inches taller than Joe.
Okay.
So it's good for people who go out in the outdoors and they're hiking and they're camping and stuff. But it's also good. I like it as kind of like a little bit of an incentive item that a client can give to their client that says, you know, this represents all the miles we've traveled together in our business relationship. Hang it on a wall. It's a conversation starter. Put it in the corner of an office. I had it on my desk. 3 people walked by when it was on my desk. All 3 people stopped and made mention of the thing. So it certainly is a conversation starter. I like it. It's really nice. And it is from ATIF ASI 37455.
All right. Way to go, Joe. Andy, what's your favorite
product?
All
right. Product? My product takes advantage of one of the trends that Michelle was talking about earlier, which is holiday gifts. The e-readers are number 3 or 4
mm-hmm.
on the gift wish list. So this product comes from Royce Leather, ASI 52390, and it is a Kindle cover. It's leather, and it comes with deep pockets and elastic bands to put extra papers in, and it's a great item for employee rewards programs or incentive programs that you're putting in place for 2011, anything like that.
All right, Michelle, what's your favorite product?
Well, I thought about, you know, trade show season is coming up,
yep.
And either for distributors or their clients, a new business card case is always nice. Mm-hmm. So I searched around ESP and found a really nice one that I liked from Spectre and Company, and it's called the Color Play, and it's just real nice. It's sleek, kind of brushed silver with different colored leather. And they are ASI 88631, and you can see it online at ASI Central/Radio.
And you'll find all these products there today. Andy, 2011 is right around
the
corner.
We're getting ready for the new year, aren't we?
What are some steps for small business success?
Well, here are three, and this article that we found actually has 10 steps to business success in 2011. We'll put that on our website. The first step that I want to highlight is to double down on what works. You know, look at marketing programs or sales strategies that really worked in 2010 and plan to expand those. Look for ways to take advantage of those strategies that really worked. Invest extra money in those and make those your key strategies for 2011, because they obviously helped you out in 2010. The next step, which sort of goes off of that, is to experiment with new things. You know, look at new ways. Kathy talked about social networking and how not many small businesses were on there. You know, maybe there is a way to help your client find new online strategies, or to add sort of extra services there, or to get yourself on there. You know, experiment with new strategies to find new things that'll work for you in 2011. And finally, fire your worst customers. You know, make a list of your whole customer base and give grades A through F to each one, and look at those D and F clients and determine if they're really worth going on. You know, you need to make your time. Your time is very valuable right now, and you want to spend it with your best clients and your best prospects. So you don't want to be wasting time with those clients that you know, are either costing you money or aren't profitable or not returning, you know, the type of investment that you're putting into it. So grade your clients and figure out ways to get rid of the worst ones.
I think that last one's a really important exercise to do every 6 months or a year. You know, it's sometimes you just think because someone buys a lot, or maybe they're a big name client, that they're a great client.
Right.
Then if you look and you see that they're always the ones that, you know, get push for the lowest price, and then maybe they take a lot of your time or customer service time, turn out that they're much less profitable than you think.
It's especially valuable to do right now as you're planning for 2011. You know, really take a critical look at your customer base and determine the ones that are, you know, just a drag on your business, and figure out a way to either make them better and turn them into better clients, or to have them move on to other people.
All right. Well, good tips. We'll put those online at asicentral.com/radio. Kathy Houston, you've got some holiday tips, holiday vacation tips for at-home workers. Now, you work at home one day a week.
Yes.
And Andy works at home a couple days a week. So do you guys deserve vacation more than we do?
Yes, we do. But that's besides the point. These tips are really for business owners that work from home.
Gotcha.
So those who work at home, you know, many have the option of taking extended time off, but should you? And that's the question. And this is pretty much common sense. You know, if your customers, it should all be according to your customers' needs that should dictate when you take vacation off, not your own needs, because you want to make money. So if your customers, for example, are corporate clients who close down a week in December, between December and January, that would be a great time for you to take vacation.
Sure.
So it all comes down to common sense. Just go according to your customer
needs.
What
if your clients want you all the time?
Not go on vacation? Okay, and some people that have their own businesses and are one-person businesses, whatever, they think they can only take a day or two here and there. But it's also vitally important for you to take a vacation, because otherwise customer service suffers in the end. So
pick the lowest volume time.
Exactly. Right. Go according to your customer's needs, but you can't always be there on demand.
All right. And pardon?
Is it time for Joe's rant?
Joe.
What?
Do you have something to get off your chest today?
Absolutely. Andy, do you know who's getting on my nerves?
Me?
No, not anyone in this room. People are running commentary on Facebook. Seriously, enough already. I don't care you are on either ends of the country. There is no need to go back and forth in this public forum. You do know that you can have either an instant chat or send a private note via email. You know that, Melinda?
I do.
Okay. It's just not occupying everyone's wall. It's the banality of it all. It would be one thing if the back and forth has something to do with winning a Nobel Prize or being singled out for doing something fantastic, but too often it's not. No, we're all given a glimpse into your everyday life, Andy. Thanks for washing the dishes. Don't forget to take out the trash. Daddy will be picking you up after basketball. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm not even on it.
The argument I hear for posting such trivial nonsense is that the people who are engaged in it are always on Facebook, so it makes sense. Nope. As I said before, there are options via Facebook to save us all from such dreck, because, quite frankly, I don't care who clogged your toilet, which is an actual wall post someone put on their Facebook.
Yeah, here's a question, though. do you care about someone's messy divorce? Because I have Facebook friend who I barely know who is cataloging every step of the fight with the
strange wife. Oh, I would be into that, though.
Well, it's interesting, but do I really need to know, like, that his... He found porno pictures of another man on his wife's
cell
phone.
No, but it's kind of interesting. It's more interesting than clogging the toilet.
You just got Vinny's attention.
Vinny wants to be friends with you.
I'll give you the guy's name. The guy has 1,000 friends. He goes to my kid's school. He's on the PTA, and all the PTA women are getting a chronicle of, you know, his messy divorce.
Do you think he's listening to us right now?
That's crazy.
Possibly.
It's crazy, but it's this everyday stuff that people are like, I really don't care that you're getting picked up.
So Joe doesn't care.
I don't.
Do you know how happy Andy and I are that we're not on Facebook?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Facebook is the devil.
All right. Well,
you're such a
We are out of time. Thanks to today's show sponsor. I promote you. Tune in next week when we'll give you a lot more great business building strategies. Plus, we are going to play our annual holiday trivia game.
Yay.
So we'll see you here next week. Have a great week.